Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you through the knowledge of God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today is the gospel lesson that was just read a few moments ago. But I greet you with those glorious words in this season of Easter that we use, the Lord is risen. You and I just heralded the greatest historical fact of all time. We have in the New Testament multiple accounts from eyewitnesses who saw the Lord after he had risen from the dead and testified of that to the world. One of the big historical figures of history is Julius Caesar. And there have been myriads of books and histories written about Julius Caesar and all that he did. But do you know there is not one of those who, after he had gone, ever had an eyewitness account of anything that he had done? And yet people accept everything that they see written in that kind of bio and history of Julius Caesar to be correct. But you and I have the wonderful thing of, in the New Testament, at least 20 or more eyewitnesses of people who had seen the Lord after he had risen from the dead. And here in our text for today, we have one of those eyewitness accounts written by the Apostle John. In his old age, probably when he was around 93 years of age. For tradition tells us that it was about that age that he had lived. We don't know for sure, but this was the one who wrote these things in this gospel. Other gospels had probably been written by this time, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and others also. But he chose that this was a time to give us an account of Jesus after his resurrection with details that are not given, or most of them not given in the other gospels that we have before us. And in our gospel lesson for this day, we have an account written and at least recounted to his congregation by this eyewitness who knew all that Jesus said and did, John the Apostle. And here we have in this text that is before us a very intimate account of Jesus' words and actions after his resurrection. This was, according to the text that is before us today, the third time that Jesus appeared to a group of his disciples. The first time to a group was right after his resurrection when they were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden Jesus was in their midst and revealed himself there to them and gave a great commission. The second time was a week later, because one of the apostles was not there when Jesus appeared right after his resurrection, and that was the one we call Doubting Thomas. And Jesus suddenly appeared in their midst again, and he says, "Thomas, why did you doubt? See my hands and see my feet. It is myself, you know." And he gave all of that proof that he was truly risen. And Thomas makes that great confession of faith, "My Lord and my God." What a wonderful confession for us to remember. And then in this particular account that we have before us today, we have Jesus calling his disciples anew to take care of the mission that he had been training them for over the 3 years of his time with them. It is going to be a new commission, but very much like the old ones that he had given. And so I like to call this account, "From the Nets Again, Now What? Follow Christ." That's the simple message of it. Now what? Follow Christ. Now this gospel for this day takes us to a time between the 40-day period extending from the time our Lord's victorious resurrection and appearance and ascension into heaven. He had appeared probably other times right after this particular account, and we have some view of that in the Gospel of Matthew and so on. But it's a very interesting account. Vicki and I, a few years ago, had the possibility of going to the Holy Land, which we did, and they give you tours of all of the traditional sites where Jesus supposedly spoke and preached and so on. And there was this one site right there by the Sea of Galilee, which I can still see so vividly in my mind, with all of the stones of the lake laid up there on the edge of it. And they have a little thing built there, an altar that is calls to remembrance this particular appearance of Jesus there beside them on the Sea of Galilee. It's quite an account we have here. Peter and these other disciples, after that appearance of Jesus with Thomas, had decided to go away back to Galilee. And of course, they had things to do to help feed their families and to take care of them. So after a while of knowing they had this need, Peter says, "I go fishing." And the others decided to follow him. So you get the picture. You can go out into the boat with them. They're out there struggling all night long to catch fish. Some of you know what that's about. I used to go fishing too and struggle all day long trying to catch something. But they were disappointed. They didn't have anything. And all of a sudden, there was a gentleman, I call him that now, the Lord, they didn't know it. He was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, you get the picture. And he says, "Children, have you caught anything?" And one of them, I don't know which, it could have been all of them, says, "No," a very disappointing no. "We have not." And that stranger on the shore says, "Cast your nets over to the right side of the boat." Does that sound familiar? Look at Luke chapter 5, where it happened once before. And you'll find some fish. And sure enough, they get a whole net full of fish. And the writer, John, of the gospel, even tells you how many they caught. 152 fish they caught. And that's the way fishermen are. Whenever they had a net full of fish and spread it out, they wanted to count every one of them because every one of them amounted to a dollar or two or whatever. Well, probably pennies in those days. But anyway, he remembered that particular count. And then they, after that, they look on the shore again, and then John has the recognition. It is the Lord. It's the Lord. And you remember how Peter was always very impetuous, and so he quickly throws on his clothing. He has only about a towel wrapped around his waist. He puts on his robe, and he plunges himself into the lake and swims to the shore. The first one to go, and the other disciples he left dragging their nets behind them and bringing them to the shore. And look at the reality of what happens next. Jesus is there. And they knew it was Jesus, but they couldn't quite grasp what was going on. I don't know whether Jesus' appearance had changed a little bit or so on, but they knew what John had said, "It is the Lord." And there he was by a fire that he had built. He had put fish on it, and he was cooking some bread. And he says to them, "Come, have breakfast. Have breakfast with me." And so they sit down, and he begins to feed them. He breaks the bread for them and gives them the boiled fish that he has there. And he tells them, "Bring some of the fish over, and we'll cook some more." They were going to have a big breakfast together. I want you to note something, and this is the first significant thing that I want to draw out of this. Jesus is once again taking the servant form. Remember, he is risen from the dead. He has all of the attributes of God, for he is God, risen from the dead, the God-man. And yet here he is again doing this humble task of fixing a breakfast for his disciples. He's taking the servanthood role. You remember that he often said to his disciples, "I am among you as one who serves." And on the night of his betrayal, when he was in the upper room, you saw that servant thing that he did for them to teach them that they were called to be servants, not masters, not lords, but servants of people. He went and washed their feet, every one of them. Taking that towel and that basin, he took the servant form again for them. My dear friends, what this gospel is telling us, that if we are truly to follow Christ, if we all of us hear the words that he spoke that day, "Follow me," we know that that should mean that we take on the servant form. Before long, you're going to be calling another pastor. And that pastor is going to be coming to you in the servant form. He is not called to lord it over you. He's called to be your servant, to serve in any way that he can. And he will also be feeding you with the Word of God every Sunday. And you will be partaking of the Lord's body and blood in the Holy Sacrament. And that's the way the servant does for you. And that's a reminder to us also. A pastor of a congregation cannot do everything. I have a long list showing what pastors were expected to do maybe about 10 years ago. About 15 different things, and I never could figure out, okay, which do they think is the most important, you know? Being a stenographer, a printer, or whatever. And I'm going to share that with the congregation sometime and see as we're studying the office of the Holy Ministry. But he is called to take the servant form like Jesus did. But not only him, it's also all of us who are called to be Christ's own. We're called to take that servant form. So when your new pastor comes, let us all remember we are called also to be servants, not in the same way that he's the called servant or pastor of the congregation, but in the same way in which we love one another and serve one another. That's so important, so very, very important. So that's the first thing that I want you to draw from that. And ask yourself, when the new pastor comes, how can I be of service to him? He's coming to serve me with the word and sacraments. But in what way can I, as a lay person, serve the congregation, serve the community, serve him? And God, through your pastor, will be showing you various ways that can be done. So we have also the second account before us, which is a very moving account. You recall that Peter had denied the Lord three times. After Jesus' resurrection, we read in the scriptures that sometime or other, Jesus appeared to Peter at that point. I don't know what he said at that point. But here he's Peter with the other disciples. And he wants to assure Peter that he has a ministry of service to carry on. And so he tactfully, says to him, with all the disciples gathered around that fire and having broken bread together, having a breakfast together, and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he says, "you know that I love you." And he says the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." How his heart must have been touched by that. There Jesus was telling him, in essence, Peter, your sins are forgiven. You denied me. Leave that behind. You've sinned, but your sins are forgiven. He says to him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. This was done to signal his full acceptance once again as one of his apostles. No more casting nets to draw fish from the sea, but rather now to feed Christ's lambs and sheep. And so the question, now what, is answered for him. This is his responsibility now as his apostle, as his witness. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Now, at another time after this particular appearance of Christ, he met with 11 disciples on a mountain somewhere in Galilee, and he gave them what you and I know as the Great Commission, where he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. There you see Jesus pronouncing what we would call the sacred ministry of feeding and leading Christ's people. And so that's what your pastor will be doing. In today's complex world, a pastor can get bogged down with matters that do not belong as part of his calling. There are many matters of administration which many of us here have the gifts to do and responsibility to help. No matter, the many matters of administration and detail are already being carried out by various leaders in your congregation. They're willing to serve. You'll see every now and then an announcement in the bulletin or something that we need people who would be readers of the lessons for the day. I hope that some of you will volunteer to do that. That would be very helpful to us. So you have the chance too, when your new servant comes, to continue to see, I also am called to serve my Lord and my God in this congregation and in this community. And when both of you see, have that servant attitude, you will see that things will really work well in your congregation. Some of the differences that we have, we find accepting. We can accept differences of opinion from one another without getting angry, but willing to cooperate with the pastor and with the people of our congregation. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I always think of those lambs. Who does he mean? He's talking about, maybe you think of children, but he's really thinking of those people who are in the congregation, who are affiliated with him already, but who need to grow in their faith, that they might desire the milk of the word, as Peter says elsewhere, that they may grow thereby. And also the ministry to children, as we have that opportunity before us. But the feed my sheep is the mature person. The mature person who knows the Lord, who has a deep faith in the Lord, who's always opening their scriptures and having their devotions to learn more about the Lord, that they may grow in their faith, in their life, and in their love for all people. Those are the sheep. You are the sheep. And we pray that soon, and keep it in your prayers daily, that God will soon send you that kind of a shepherd, sent to you by the Lord himself to help you carry on your mission of going forth into the community to share the good news of Christ. You see, it's not just the pastor that is called to do that. It's all of us. We are called to be witnesses to Christ in our daily life, at our jobs, in our occupations, in our social engagements. We are to be following Christ. That's what the word, two words, follow me means. That we walk in the steps like of Jesus. That people can see something in us that is like Jesus. So today, I just leave those two words to all of you. And they're words of Jesus, not me, but the words are, follow me. And you will see God blessing your congregation richly in all things, in your love, in your purity, in your walking after him. Paul said once, imitate me as I imitate Christ. May God help us all to follow Christ and to be more and more like him in every way. In his name we pray. Amen.